right, here we go on a Friday, 404 day in the ATL. My name is Steak. I get 2 hours of radio on the Steakhouse, and I got the best lineup around. I get Drew on Monday, Sandy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the incomparable Rusty Manziel on a Friday morning, 404 day, opening day for the Braves. It's all coming together, coming together. Good morning.
Good morning. I realized this morning that Day-Day had on a Braves jersey. You walk in with a Braves jersey, and it come to realization, well, I'm not on the side text.
Day-Day. Well, no, no.
I'm not on the side text.
Let's tell the behind-the-scenes story of what happened this morning. So I was up, never up as early as Rusty coming in from Rome, and like a genius, I say it's all ATL music today because it's the 404 day. And Rusty, I mean, you've heard what happens when Rusty or somebody chimes in when I'm trying to write three strikes
right,
or Sandy
right,
or
right,
and I think Rusty thought I was trying to dictate his Rusty Rocks. So Rusty, what was your response to me? Like, just basically stay in your lane.
I said, hey man, stay in your lane. Yeah. First thing, you said it's all 404 music. By the way, I'm walking in the studio at 6:40 for a 9 a.m. show. My mind is right on a Friday.
No, for sure.
And I said,
you do look rested.
I didn't have a great night's sleep, but I do good, man. I'm ready to rock, man. It's Friday.
So
Braves,
your point was you thought I was trying to infiltrate what to do on Rusty Rocks, and I have never. I was just saying, and Day-Day is probably like, bro, he's like, do you think that's not what we're going to go with, right?
I know on Friday what my duty is. It's always done at 10 o'clock. I go in on Thursday night in my office. I sit down for about an hour and get my mind right, get my list ready.
Did you, Day-Day, put the playlist together already or what you wanted to run today, you and Bo?
It's pretty much, we know what direction we're going. So, yeah. It's so many artists. There's so many artists,
okay,
bro.
Well,
There's so many ways to represent Atlanta, bro.
Yes, it is.
It is so many ways to represent.
Atlanta influences everything, and it certainly influences the music. So you'll hear that today. Also remind you, a ton of interviews. We got Keith Brooking. I have not talked to Keith Brooking. It's got to be a decade or close to that. But he's on with us this morning. All 404 interviews are presented by Verizon. I will give a shout-out. Speaking of 404, it's one of the greatest restaurants the city has ever seen, a place called Aria in Buckhead. And Jerry Klascala went there last. He's retiring and selling the restaurant to his GM over there. Was a great guy. But anybody that's ever been to Aria for graduations or special occasions or just a real important business dinner or just wanted a beautiful night out with their lady or their family, I went there last night. We had the most amazing night. And get to Ari in the next 2 months because he's retiring. And he is the OG of chefs in Atlanta before there was anybody. So thanks to him last night I was there. And when you talk about 404, I mean, listen, I said this yesterday on the air, Rusty. When you talk about Atlanta, Lou Williams and Magic City, is it not right at the top of the conversation of every –
I almost tweeted this yesterday, but I wasn't ready for the smoke. I was like, I may have to go have some lemon pepper wings at Magic. Can you go before like 6 p.m.?
Yeah, 100%. So like I'm doing these Instagram videos that are blowing up, right?
Hell yeah.
Relatively speaking, I have to go to Magic City and go film those wings.
We should.
Like what am I waiting for? So we should do that one day.
We should
day.
Do that.
Yeah.
It's for work.
I would say, because I did V103 yesterday. Frank Ski was filling in for Big Digger. I told the story I don't want to repeat at the same time, but like, if someone were to say to me, what's the number one restaurant people talk about when they come to Atlanta, I really believe that the Magic City Lou Williams stuff is at the top of the list.
I'm telling you, you do not mention Atlanta without Magic City. You just don't.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm just telling you. I've never
and
been.
Listen, Tony Ressler's wife, Jamie Gertz, is working. Well, did she do the documentary that just came out?
It's about to come out, I think, right?
They're doing a documentary on Magic City, or a series that she's helping to bankroll. So it's a thing. The 404 is a thing.
I've never looked more forward to a work assignment in my life.
It's happened. No, it's got to happen. It has got to happen, right? So anyways, how was your camp last week?
It was really good.
Biggest day of the year for you from a business perspective,
yeah,
I guess,
a lot,
right?
It's a lot on me. I had 330 kids total, two sessions. Had kids from five states. Had a kid from Kentucky, had kids from Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia. Let me say this. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in the afternoon, and I'm really finally getting to dial in. And I really like watching the younger session because those kids are so eager, and they listen, and they're really, you know, every rep, you know. And I'm sitting there watching this guy, and this kid steps in front of this interception. It's like, it's a good play by that kid, you know. Kind of made a mental rep of that. I'm going around, you know, and after the thing, I'm taking pictures with kids, and I go through all that. Kid walks up, and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Mansell." I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "I don't – you know me." I said, "I saw that interception." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "My dad's Day-Day."
Oh, wow.
So my man Carson Lewis.
I saw the video.
Little baller, man. Little baller.
I saw
man.
The video.
Dude, congrats, he was awesome. Day-Day. And those kids, they're just energetic. We had a great upperclassman group.
Yep.
Like, I had probably four or five kids that got their first offers this week. I never promise a ranking.
Yep.
I never promise an offer. I promise you, if you come do well, you're going
to
get
some
exposure.
Were the parents trying to talk to you? Are they trying to get time with you?
You know what's the best part about Milton and Day-Day know this? They have a fence.
And
I just can't get caught up in
no,
that conversation.
No, I totally agree.
You know, but, like, I don't have to talk to any parents there.
Right.
And I'm not trying to hide from them. I
yeah.
just have to work. I'm there to
no,
do a job.
No, if you start talking to one, you're
yeah,
talking to 12,
yeah. So,
right?
Yep. And,
Day-Day, how old is your kid?
14.
Yep.
14.
So he is going to be a sophomore next year?
No, he'll be – because he's got a late
he'll
birthday.
Be a
he'll be a freshman.
Be a freshman.
Year.
We had a kid from Kentucky that was a freshman. He was 6'5", like 210, defensive end. I said, if you drove 500 miles, you're not playing around.
Yeah.
So
you guys had a bus load too, right?
Well,
do you have
Washington
a for Washington County?
Washington
yeah.
County brought a bus. They left at 6 a.m.
How excited was your son with that? Because I saw the video.
I mean, he was just,
pick.
Man, he was
he
just,
anticipated
he was
it.
Very thankful of the opportunity because I told you guys last week when you asked about it, the way Rusty runs these camps, because there's so many out there that are money grabs, if we're 100% honest.
Yep.
And the way he runs this, like he said, I mean, I walked up and I was like, oh yeah, he's got this thing locked up. Like, parents had no way to even get to the field.
Right. I get
you
to
know
work.
What I'm saying? So,
is that one of the problems on the 7-on-7s where you've heard of a lot of issues? It's they don't have access to the field. It's the coaches sometimes that aren't really.
No, some of these 7-on-7s, a lot of them that we've been a part of, yeah the parents are right there on the field.
Yeah.
That's not
7-on-7s turning more into like AAU. The thing I don't like about 7-on-7, it's not really football.
Yes.
You're running trick plays and all.
Yeah.
So I cover 7-on-7 in the summer when you play for your high school. When you put that high school helmet on, I go watch. I'll say this.
And will high school coaches coach that 7-on-7 team as
they
opposed
can, you,
to these
you can play
hybrid AAUs?
After June the 1st, you can play for your high school. And that's when there's running real plays. I'll say this. I'm going to tell you this. This is me. I could double my price right now and make double the money and have less kids.
Right.
That's not what this was about. That's not what I intended to do from the start. So we kind of pride ourselves on making it affordable for everybody. And, I can't tell you the amount of people that was former NFL guys there with their kids. I don't care who you are. Like, Derrick Henry came to my camp. He didn't get an award. Nick Chubb came to my camp. He didn't get an award.
Can you mention any NFL players who had their kid there?
Brandon Jacobs has got another one.
Yeah.
Another a really good player. There was Quint. You know who was there? Who had a really good talk with? We're going to have him on the show. Quincy Carter was there.
Yeah.
So Kirby Smart was there. I mean, that was out. Kirby Smart's son.
I was going to say, coach of Georgia was
well,
there.
Well, you know, and I got that text, and I didn't tell a soul because I don't care if he comes or not. His son is a prospect. He's a seventh grader, Andrew, really good player. He's a really good baseball player, obviously. He came with a group of his kids from Athens. They text me and said, hey, we're coming. I said, look, you know.
Those of you remember, Andrew Smart played for the Little League team.
Almost went to Williamsport last year. They got in the finals, semifinals. And lost to Florida, who wound up playing for the
– He pitched
he
a couple
pitched,
of times.
He pitched the final game, yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's,
but,
you know, when Kirby walked up and he pulled up and they walked into the field, like, you could see the kids like, holy smokes. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, it was
they
good.
Thought he was there. They didn't realize he had
some
a kid there.
Some of them thought he was there. Like, and he can't be
scouting
there legally
kids.
Unless your kid's a camper. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
So they're like – oh my God, George is here, scout. And I will say,
I've told you the story. Oh, sorry,
a couple kids that were there that you know came up to him. He's like, "Hey, you need to come to camp. You know, you can say those types of things if they come up and talk to you."
Day-Day, you've heard my Red Auerbach story before, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. About when you,
I went to
basketball camp.
I went to Red Auerbach basketball camp. Do you know this story, Bo? It's probably one of the most fascinating stories. The 15 draft picks for the Celtics. There were 15 rounds. Red Auerbach had a camp in Milford, Mass. The draft picks had to be counselors.
That's
so you were sleeping in a like hey, I got the sixth rounder from Purdue. Another bunk's got the eighth rounder from Iowa. Next one's got the fourth rounder out of NC State. Those are our counselors. The evening activity was watching the scrimmage. They didn't have to schedule anything.
Yeah.
And Red Auerbach was in his van. Larry Bird was with him on occasion. He did a shooting exhibition. This is back in the early 80s, late 90s. And he would pull up to, like, my game. I think I was 10 or 11. And Red Auerbach, who was, like, obviously the greatest coach of all time in the NBA, having a title, he just, nice job, 47. Good rebound. Hey, somebody throws you a pass, you acknowledge it. I mean, you're just like, dude, that was Red Auerbach.
Can you imagine Cooper Flagg in June having to work the YMCA summer camp in DeKalb County?
Dude, is that crazy? So you go to the game at night, and you're rooting for your draft pick.
That's awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
And you're like, and he'd come, dude, think about the guy scrimmaging in front of Auerbach and the coach of the South. And then he'd go back to the dorm with a bunch of 10-year-olds. And you'd be like, yeah, man, we saw you hit that jumper. I mean, you know why? Because Red Auerbach could do whatever he wanted. Like, you got drafted.
Different day and age.
That had to probably still make them feel kind of good that you got all these kids that, you know,
are kind of rooting for you. Yeah, think about it. The draft went from 15 rounds to 2 because none of those guys made the team. But when he rolled up in his golf cart with Larry Bird and he's watching a 10-year-old and he just has any comment, right? And if you weren't hustling, he'd say that too. I mean, dude, it was nerve-wracking. All right, we're past our, everything at 9 and 9 is about the Braves, really.
Yep.
It's opening day. Nobody could have imagined. We'll do a quick 1 minute 9 at 9, and it's all about opening day for the Bravos. We'll give you all the details of what's going on around the ballpark, but 7:15, Spencer Schwellenbach and Max Meyer. That is the start of the Braves' home schedule. How shocked are you with the 0-7?
Well, they just played two teams that are 15-0. Basically, they just played Mike Tyson in 1988 for about 7 days. I'm not in panic mode yet. Not a great start. You know, the whole deal that last week, just flush it. Here we go. 18-7, Braves home opener since 2000. 8-10 in the last – 8-2 in the last 10. Listen, they're 5.5 outs, 162-game season. Let's just wipe that week clean and start over tonight. This week, big series, 6 home games. Let's go 4-2. We'll go 4-2 on this one. Get right back in this thing. There'll be 500 before you know it.
Very curious to see what the
bats worry what the me a little bit.
Well, what the lineup looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Snit from the other night going to stay with in that kind of Punch and Judy lineup that was okay? Dodgers had two errors, three errors, whatever. That should have been an error in the outfield. I didn't give him that, so I give him 3 errors. But let's see who's in the lineup, and let's see who's not in the lineup. And is Ozzy still going to be at the top of the order, or what are you doing, Michael Harris, everything else? All right, when we come back, lots to get to. The Mount Rushmore of the 404.
Big topic right here.
The Mount Rushmore of the 404 will explain. Give us 5 minutes. Sports Radio 92.9. .923 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What is your earliest memory of opening day at Fulton County Stadium? What's your earliest memory of the Braves?
Well, two things about Fulton County.
In terms of opening day.
So I think after they had that, was it 82? They had that crazy year. They came out of nowhere and won the NL West back then.
With Joe Torre?
Yeah, Claudel Washington, Glenn Hubbard, Rafael Ramirez, all those guys. I think, you know, I was 10, so that brought my love for the Braves, and then I think I started following my dad because you had TBS. I don't particularly know. Like, I watched them every night.
Yeah.
That's what you had.
When they were bad.
Yeah. Like, my grandmother was like, okay, we're watching Andy Griffin at 6:30. When that goes off, Skip Carey is coming on at 7:05, and you're watching the Braves. You had no choice, and you loved it. I have, and I'm going to return it one day, maybe. I have a wooden board that says "Welcome to Fulton County Stadium" that I borrowed there, toward the end, and it hangs over my office. So I walk in every single day into my office, and it says "Welcome to Fulton County."
Yeah. So
I borrowed that, by the way, Braze.
Yeah, no, that's
I'm just holding it. For
they'll
y'all.
Be okay. They think they'll
holding,
be okay.
I'm holding it for y'all.
They may need it to help pay for Pennant Park they just bought.
Yeah, no, 35.
The timing was not good on that. I don't think it's a big deal.
Can we get a reliever at about 2,700 parking lots?
No, exactly. Spaces. That Pennant, that area, they just like doubled the size of the battery or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, 404-726-0929. That's one of the things we're doing on 404 day today. Opening day Braves, can they get the dubs tonight? Get on track, not be 0-8 going into a Saturday game. That would be disaster. Ooh. Also, One of the things we're doing, and you put it up online, is creating the Mount Rushmore of 404 football players. So explain what the rules are for this.
You know, it's very vague. I'm thinking, like, you played high school here. You grew up here. I don't care where you went to college. I don't care where you ended up, but you were born and raised here.
You can't be Macon or Augusta, right?
You know, people started hitting me immediately about Travis Hunter, and I think Travis Hunter is going to that county. You know what I mean? I think as far as I would go would be Forest Park with Hines Ward. But Calvin Johnson, obviously, Tyrone. I mean, you look at Jamal Lewis, Douglas, Quincy Carter, Southwest DeKalb. A lot of people said Richard Dent.
Richard Dent.
Yep. You know, there's a lot of people there. So there, I think there's a lot of guys there.
Who's the king of Mount Rushmore? And we get three other names.
Cam Newton's at Westlake. I mean, there's some dudes now.
The king of Mount Rushmore, 404 football players, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Now, one of the things I think we have to reward, I would say, Rusty, on a point system, their NFL career absolutely matters. Their college career absolutely matters.
Yeah,
But if they dominated high school football
Eric Berry.
That means they actually played in the 404. And if they like, I'm going to take, if it's close, the guy whose high school career in the 404 was better than another guy, if their next two phases are even. We're not just looking for NFL Hall of Famers. We're looking for guys that represent the 404 for the Mount Rushmore of football from this region. And God knows there are a lot of them. So that's something we'll be talking about as well. 404-726-0929, the Mount Rushmore of 404
This'll be good.
Football players. We can do that for everything. I mean, the 404 broadcasters.
Artist.
Is Outkast?
I think Outkast. You think Atlanta, you have to think Outkast. Like, yeah. I don't think there's anybody that is. You think Atlanta music, you got to start with Outkast.
Yeah, I think that from a passion standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of amazing artists that roll through here, but I think from a passion standpoint and crossover demographic as well, and national recognition, I think Outkast is just different. So that's something we'll be talking about as well here. I was talking about the broadcasting 404, the all-time 404. Let's just say on the sports end of it, you know, Skip Carey seems to be the most timeless because of how many nights you spent with him if you grew up in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Ernie Johnson Sr. and Ernie Johnson Jr. But Ernie Johnson Jr. didn't call local games, right? Brad Nesser called him for a little while. Bob Rathman's called him for years. Steve Holman now working on the most incredible streak. But I tend to think if there's a Mount Rushmore of 404 for
He didn't do it long enough. He didn't do it long enough. But you realize that Larry Munson did the Falcons for a while.
I know.
That's crazy. He couldn't. He didn't do enough.
Nessler did him also, but you're right. Larry didn't do him long enough. He did do sports talk radio for a long time.
Yeah.
That was not his ballywick. But I'll tell you, that's some funny stuff. Listen to Larry every day trying to do four or five hours of sports talk, where it was like, you know, all right, Noder, let's do this, and he just go off on these tangents. Listen to Larry do sports talk with something. Hey, Reese in East Atlanta, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Reese?
Going on, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Well, side note, man, you're doing a lot for the food community and our community in the city of Atlanta. You're doing great, man. Keep up the good work. You look great on TV.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Let's get to it. I went to Westlake High School.
I know where you're going.
I saw Cam. I had the pleasure of seeing Cam Newton every Friday night for 2 years. I saw him overthrow every wide receiver we brought on the field. He would launch balls into the parking lot. It was amazing. I also had the pleasure of seeing him go up against Creekside's finest, Eric Berry.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. When I tell you, the guy was the starting quarterback, the starting safety, and the guy returned punts.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, he didn't leave the field. It was the most amazing thing I've ever had the pleasure to see him.
State champs, absolutely. Creekside. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
Good.
That was my two cents.
Good stuff, buddy. We appreciate it.
I didn't realize that Eric Berry played Cam Newton in high school, but you're talking about two alpha males, talking about a unit. First time I saw Cam Newton, I was like, Mike Johnson, he talked about it. He's like, first time I saw him, I was like, I didn't realize how big that guy was. But that dude is legit 6'5 and a half, grown ass man.
Yeah, he changed. I don't know about changing high school football, playing at that size, but he changed the National Football League. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not. Now, Michael Vick did, certainly. Randall Cunningham, to a degree. I mean, there was that. but there's never anybody that looked like Cam Newton that just came in and took over the NFL.
Yeah, athletically, and then have the arm with it. Like, Josh Allen is a big dude. He's not as athletic as Cam was, but Josh Allen will hurt you with his feet, too.
James in Dallas, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, James?
Great. Thanks for taking the call. I went to high school in Cartersville, and I don't think he gets enough credit, but Ronnie Brown, I thought, was amazing.
I think Ronnie Brown is a Northwest Georgia guy. He was number two in the draft. He is a five-star player and a five-star human. But I would think Cartersville would be I'm a 706 guy, but that to me, it's got to be 404.
What's the ruling, guys?
It's got to be 404.
Yeah,
right? I think we can stretch, but Ronnie Brown's a great dude.
Yeah, it's 404 days.
Great guy.
It's not 706 day.
I'm 706 Friday with me. But
we appreciate the call. Jeff in Atlanta on the west side. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Morning.
I got two I'm not sure, and I got two I know for a fact. I'll start out with George Eckerson, Oakland Raiders, 404.
Oh, wow.
Alfred Jenkins, Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, sir. Just went to Georgia High School Hall of Fame. Yep.
And these two, Anthony Flanagan, University of Georgia, first black quarterback to suit up at the University of Georgia.
Wow, good one, buddy.
Damn good ones right
and
here.
My fourth is going to blow your mind, but I saw him play, Walt Frazier of the New York Knicks.
I mean, damn.
Howard High School, 1966-67.
Well,
he's not going to get the Mount Rushmore of football, but I never knew Clyde Frazier was out of the ATL 404. Never knew that.
Saw him play. That's wild.
Yes, Howard High School.
Where did George Atkinson go?
I didn't want to look it up. So
we'll look it up at some
point. I tried to go off my memory, but he did go to college at Morris Brown, and so did Alfred Jenkins.
Yep. Great call, man.
Great call. Thank you. 404-726-0929.
I told you this would be a great
404 day.
This would be a great one.
Yeah, appreciate you being with us. And we're trying to put together the Mount Rushmore of 404 in terms of the football community. You know, listen, you could do this for every sport, but Rusty's here.
You know a guy that he, I'm telling you, he's starting to be that guy. Kyle Hamilton out of Marist. Starting safety for the Ravens. All pro. First rounder. Notre Dame All-American. Like Kyle Hamilton, when he's done, I mean, this guy's got a chance to be wearing a jacket. I'm telling you, he's a bad dude now.
All right. I like hearing that. And, I mean, Marist is right
that
in
is
the
a
thick of it.
You're talking about a big-ass kid that can run and hit? And
what about Andrew Thomas?
Andrew Thomas, you know, because he plays left tackle.
But he's drafted.
Number four.
Four overall.
He was multi-year All-American. He's got a chance, man.
All right.
Giants got to get a damn quarterback.
Their quarterback is Russell Wilson, is that right?
It's either him or
no, no, it's done.
Bo Johnson. I mean, I don't know who they got.
It's so obvious they're holding that Aaron Rodgers announcement for the McAfee show. I mean, that is like the worst-kept secret. If you heard the Rooney speaking, he said everything. First of all, you have no quarterback. You got Mason Rudolph, right? And Mike Thomas.
I would take you over Mason Rudolph. I'm just telling you.
And then he got, Dan Rooney saying, things are moving in a very positive direction. Let me see. The Steelers don't have a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a team. Let's see.
And he's throwing with the Steelers wide receiver last week on the beach.
And he's in Pittsburgh meeting with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't need to be Inspector Clouseau.
Sources say.
Yeah, to figure that one out. Hey, when we come back, we got Final Four weekend. Girls are going tonight. Why? Good news across the board for women's college basketball, believe it or not. And I'm going to tell you who the best pick of the weekend is in the men. That's coming up as well. It's Steak and Rusty. It's 404 day. Keith Brooking will join us later on. We continue. Sports Radio 92.9.
Don't chase them waterfalls, baby. TLC. I listened to Baby, Baby, Baby this morning, trying to get my mind right out. Dude, they were. I got some left. I got some TLC left for Rusty Rocks.
It's 404 day. You know what's going on here. We are honoring the 404, a zip code I came to. Oh, what are we in now? 25? I think it was 95, so I'm 30 years. I told you about my first night here. I told you that story. So I was interviewing. you know, I don't know if you know this. People think I'm from Coweta County. Yeah, no, I'm actually from Boston. So I sent out Old School to try to get on the radio because you're not getting on the radio doing sports in Boston when you're in your 20s, right? Yeah. You know, that's like, you know, the end of the line. That's like getting on Broadway, right? And sports talk didn't even exist in Atlanta, really. So I sent out a cassette tape and an Old School cover letter.
Demo.
Yeah, just like a 10-minute tape, a cover letter. I didn't have a resume really to speak of. And I sent it to Milwaukee, Tampa, Miami, Atlanta. Like, I'm just going to go anywhere I can get in front of a microphone. And I was not good like anybody else. I didn't have 10,000 hours. I had like 3. You know what I mean? Like, I needed.
You thought you had 10,000.
I came in like I did. Actually, that's not true. I did an overnight show, 1 to 5 a.m. on some Vakakta radio network. Sports Byline Radio Network. Anyway, I roll into Atlanta and interviewing down at the old 680, which was down at CNN Center, and they put me up at the Renaissance Hotel. I probably put myself up. I probably flew myself down. Like, I just need to get on the radio. And I was like, there's a lot of black people in downtown. There's a lot of music in this parking lot. Do they always just stay up all night dancing and driving around? I was right in the middle of Freaknik. Like, literally rolled in. I was like, this town knows how to party. These people are like, this is like a Thursday night.
Oh, man.
I didn't know what was going on. So that's late 90s. Freaknik was in a healthy place at the time. But I had just never, I mean, you can imagine, like, there's culture shock on many levels. And, they threw me on the radio. The audition I had was with two other guys. One worked at WGST, and one guy was a reporter. And they threw us in there. It's like throwing a piece of a slab of meat into like
Tiger
a lion's den, right? And they're like, yeah, we're going to see how you three guys go together. I know those were the other two guys up for the job,
yeah,
which was not fair because I was this, you know, bombastic personality coming in. It's like, this is my chance. And they're these nice, more demure Southern personality. And I just, you know, I went crazy.
Just ate them alive.
And I started terrorizing Bo Bach. And next thing you know, I was moving to Atlanta. I've been here ever since and, you know, raised my family here and have a daughter at Georgia. And it's a beautiful thing. But I think a lot of transplants have the passion for 404. I know I do. We'll do a tailgate coming up in a second. But we're doing the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, man. Let's get this calls.
Of the 404 for football. Robert, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Robert?
How you doing, Stank? I called Tuesday to make Sandra laugh. I was the one about the cupcakes and the short girl and all that. I heard her laugh. Yeah, and I did hear her laugh.
Yeah,
but I went to Reed Ann High School,
Kevin Butler,
Chris Kardaki, and Terrence Mathis.
Yes, okay, sir.
Nice.
So that's my, yeah.
Out of one
yeah.
High
and
school.
Then I went to Columbia High School with Chris Tucker, so that's my 404 story.
That's a 404 talent right there. Good. Anthony in Snellville. Wow. Anthony, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Steve? Yeah.
Good, bud. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, actually, out of Fayetteville, actually. Sir. Kelvin Pritchard. I went to Thelma High School, and he was drafted first round in 91 from Ole Miss.
Okay.
Had about a 14-15 year career in the NFL.
Wow.
Man.
It's a lot of paychecks. Yeah. It's a nice pension.
That also, damn good pension.
So if we had to say, Rusty, who sits as the king of Mount Rushmore, the 404?
I don't think I could argue over Calvin Johnson because he was – I think it would be Calvin and then probably Cam because of the uniqueness of those two.
You know, if you think of the combination, you absolutely had to be a high school standout, right? That obviously
was. Well, they dominated all three levels.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you got to dominate in Atlanta, but then for both guys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Arguably.
I tell you what, Jamal Lewis would be.
I mean, unfortunately for Calvin, Reggie Ball was throwing the ball. And I don't mean to be mean to Reggie. We just have an offense that could totally highlight and break every record in ACC. I mean, I covered every year of him, and he was just different. And then, of course, his NFL career, unfortunately, played for the Lions.
You'd get DJ Shockley to tell you the story when he took Calvin Johnson out for his official at Georgia. The next morning, his mom looked at him and said, "You're not coming here."
Oh, what?
And Calvin had a good time in Athens.
Right. Too good, I guess.
And DJ was like, "We need you. Come on." He's like, "I'm here."
Right.
The next day, his mom.
So his mom said, "You are not.
We out."
So he didn't look like he was ready to.
I think he was a little sleepy.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't look like he was ready to run a 70-yard.
Downtown Athens was waiting on Calvin to get there.
I'm sure some other people were waiting for him too. One would imagine.
Somebody else answered that one.
Yeah. But, so Richard Dent, out of the 70s in high school, and then the 80s. And
Hines Ward would really push it for me.
That's
because,
a good one
because
too.
He's forced part right on the limit. But I will say he dominated all three levels. He was a unique athlete. And I could not have one without Calvin Johnson, Cam Newton, and Hines Ward.
Calvin Johnson's a better NFL player. Hines Ward had a better NFL career.
Yeah,
Hines Ward is in Pittsburgh winning Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, Hines Ward ran a 4.640.
Yeah, I don't think you'd take Hines over Calvin. But you talk about a career, you can't be a better Steeler.
So another one that, to your point, Rusty, that's kind of right there on the border. What about HD, Harry Douglas?
Yeah, but I don't
know. Where's his high school?
Jonesboro.
Does that count as a 404?
Yeah, I would give that. I don't know.
He's not on the Mount Rushmore, though.
But he is worthy of a mention.
Yeah, for high school football.
But we're talking about four guys. I would have to say, the listeners might determine this, you can't make a list without Calvin Johnson, Hines Ward, and Cam Newton, for me, because they dominated all three levels, and they were just dominating. Hines Ward. If Hines Ward came out right now in the NIL, he would blank check. But Quincy Carter, blank check. Bryce Underwood got $10 million to go to Michigan. I guarantee you, if Quincy Carter was a senior right now in 2025, he'd be an $8 million.
There was
guy.
No bigger hype than Quincy Carter. I'm in sports talk radio.
Yeah.
And Joe Hamilton is nestled nicely over there at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And Quincy Carter, is out of the baseball thing and decides. And it's John England, Nate Hibble, who's the other
Daniel
two or three
Cobb.
Guys? Yeah, they're all like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Well, and they just one by one just disappeared off of
England stayed. England stayed. Nate Hibble went to Oklahoma. Daniel Cobb went to Auburn.
Yep.
But he stayed. And I'll say this, though. Quincy Carter was so ahead of the game because he was a true dual threat with an absolute hose, and everybody was running wing T then. Valdosta was in the bins. Everybody talks about 1995 in the bins, maybe the greatest high school football game ever in Georgia. People will tell you maybe Valdosta Southwest DeKalb was the greatest high school football game ever in Georgia.
Have you heard of that game, Day-Day?
Yeah, there's so many stories about that game. Obviously, that was Coach Buck Godfrey's time there at Southwest DeKalb, and that's one of the most talked about high school football games.
Dude,
when
there were so
talk
many athletes
football.
On there. You should hear Quincy talk about that game and talk about how the energy. I think it was like 25,000, but the whole lower bowl was covered up. 1995. I do this. I would say I watch more high school football than anybody in the state of Georgia. To me, that would be the game. That would be the one that you still talk about. We'll have Quincy on. I talked to him last weekend. He's doing great in life.
Where's he living?
He's helping at Southwest DeKalb.
Can he come in studio and spend an hour with us?
I'm going to tell you something. Quincy Carter, you're talking about somebody that's turned their life around in 360 and everything
he
has with him in Dallas.
If you haven't heard an interview with him in a long time,
we'll get him in.
It'll be the most. It'll be the best hour of radio that you're going to hear.
Yep.
You want to start with the women's.
Yeah.
Because tonight's going to be – this is their big night on television. They've got the stage on a Friday night.
Tonight, 7 p.m., you got Texas versus South Carolina, followed by UConn versus UCLA State. I was very interested last year at this time. Obviously, Caitlin Clark was the biggest story in all of sports in Iowa. Women's basketball right now is down 22%. But hold on before you make that judgment. Elite Eight last week averaged 2.9 million views. Caitlin Clark's Elite Eight game versus Angel Reese last year drew 6.2 million viewers. But women's basketball as a whole is up 34% over 2023. So you take the Caitlin Clark year out, you push that to the side, and women's basketball is on the rise. It'll be in primetime tonight. The number that stood out to me, though, I know we talked about it last year, 18.9 million viewers watched Iowa versus South Carolina last year. Tonight will be a big one. Unfortunately, they lost one of their biggest superstars in USC, Juju Watkins, when she tore her ACL. I'd be interested to see where they would be with her as a superstar. But Paige Beckers will be the lady everybody will be watching tonight. Two great games. Look forward to that.
Let's just say that if you know anything about the 1979 Magic versus Larry game, which is known as the premier college
most
basketball.
Most watched game of all time.
Yeah, you'd never, ever going to beat undefeated South Carolina versus Caitlin Clark. That will live forever. Forget about the NBA Finals. Forget about the college basketball Final Four and the men. This thing hammered every sporting event of the year. You'll never see a number like that ever again. There's never been hype around women's basketball like Caitlin Clark. The Angel Reese game, which was the Final Eight last year. Mm-hmm. I'm on a text with a bunch of dudes. Let me tell you what's never happened in 50 years.
Same for me.
Never have a bunch of dudes been sitting around
the whole game.
Tell your wife we can't go out. We have to watch this game tonight, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And to Rusty's point, man, unfortunately, no Juju Watkins. Without a doubt, I believe that would probably be the most watched game
she
not gone down.
She's the star. Yep.
All right, let's talk about the men's game. It's fascinating. Final Four, the highest ranked four teams ever to play as number ones in the Final Four. The early game, Florida versus Auburn. Florida, a 2.5-point favorite. They got there courtesy of Norfolk State, Connecticut, the Maryland game. They just stomped Maryland, and then they survive against Texas Tech with that late run. Auburn, of course, Alabama State, Creighton, pretty good team out of the Big East. They whoop Michigan, and then Michigan State. So Auburn's done everything they're supposed to do.
I picked Florida to win my bracket after seeing them in person. Even though Georgia beat them that night, I left there going, man, that is one of the biggest, most athletic. They are huge in person. I just think right now that Duke is peaking, and I think Duke, you're going to be hard to beat Duke this weekend.
Duke has it all. They have size. They have incredible shooting. They've got the best player in the nation. They got there courtesy of Mount St. Mary's, Baylor. Arizona was close, but not really. It was a 7-point game that they could have won by 20. And then the 20-point blowout
Houston
of Alabama.
Houston is so good on defense. I can't wait to watch that match. Both of these games, State, remind me of the early 90s, and I just always say the UNLV, the Dukes, the Fab Five, all those teams. I think both of these games are going to be great.
Houston beating Edwardsville. They beat Gonzaga in a close one. Purdue with that inbounds play, and then, of course, the best night of the year for the Cougars was what they did to Tennessee, a 20-point win.
The tip-off Auburn, 30 minutes earlier, by the way.
Listen,
moved it back.
Listen. Auburn's run is over. I got some people
They're playing a better
love.
Team.
It's only 2.5.
They're playing a better team.
Yes, they are. And they don't shoot the three very well, Auburn. Florida's had their scares.
He's saying he's healthy. If there's one player that can take that game over, it's him now. I'm just telling
you. Florida against Duke, but Houston is going to be a bye to deal with. They're going to be tough. The under in Duke Houston is what people are talking about.
Houston's so good defensively?
Dude, did Tennessee have 13 points at halftime? I think Tennessee had
Was that against Houston? There was a halftime where they only had 13 points.
Yeah, that was Houston.
That
was that was the Final Eight. Rusty, think about that for a second. That's a team that beat.
I saw Tennessee in person. Trust me.
Right.
Yeah, they.
I think they beat Florida and Auburn this year, if I'm not mistaken. Tennessee had 13 points. This game is going to be the most physical, like every possession matter type matchup. Houston getting 5.5. Listen, Duke is the definition of dial a score. So I understand why he had to make it 5.5. But Houston's 31-1 or something crazy? I mean, imagine a team like that is getting 5.5 points. They're a number one seed. And how many times could that ever happen that a team with that resume is 5.5-point underdog?
You're sitting in the CBS studio this morning. You're in a production meeting. Steak Shapiro's over the Final Four. You're sitting there going, please let Duke win for Monday night.
Duke in Florida or Duke in Florida. It doesn't matter.
You just need Duke.
The Duke brand,
Cooper Flag in that
game. It's like having Notre Dame back in the national title. It's like having, if Notre Dame actually had the best player in college football, right?
Yes.
So think about the brand, and then think about you get to see Cooper Flagg.
You had it with Rocket Ishmael one time. Yeah. They were on TV, yeah.
When he won the Heisman.
88, yeah. I think they beat West Virginia.
But Cooper Flagg is the
– It's shocking to me that kid's out of middle of Maine. It's unbelievable. How does that happen? It's French Lake, Indiana. You get the comparison.
I don't know, man. The Williams sisters were out of – Compton.
Compton, yeah, playing tennis.
And they play tennis everywhere in the world.
Can you imagine the people that looked at their dad going, what are you doing at a tennis court?
Rusty, they play in Switzerland. They play in Japan. It's not like basketball where America. They play everywhere in the world. And there were two girls out of Compton, California, that were the two best players in the world at one point.
Two unicorns, literally.
And Serena being the best of all time.
How about that?
Anyway, that's our tailgate. Keith Brookings is going to be part of our 404 interview coming up in a little bit. Our 404 interviews brought to you by or presented by Verizon. When we come back, Braves opening day, we continue. Is there anybody we're missing for the Mount Rushmore of 404 football?
Can't be Travis Hunter. He is from Miami. I'm getting that text. Cannot be Travis Hunter. He moved here in the seventh grade.
Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 10:03, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Atlanta. Kind of a cloudy day. Good day. I'm going to go play tennis today.
I heard you calling somebody out. You were like, tell those slap, you know what, so come on at 1:30. Bring it.
We're looking for a doubles match over at my buddy's place because I've had a long week. This hand has given me grief all week. Anybody listen to me whining? I got gout or something in my hand. And you know, I'm not exactly telling you I'm Hercules, but I can handle pain. This thing was so bad all week long, and I'm feeling better, so I feel like I'll mess it up again. So I said, and we were filming Atlanta Heat yesterday. We were filming at New Realm on the Beltline. We were filming it over at the Ravinia Hotel in Dunwoody. They got
where
a great restaurant there.
That, where did you have on that fresh gear from Miller Brothers?
Oh, Miller Brothers looked good yesterday, right?
Robbie and Greg
Miller.
Robbie
and
Greg, call me because I saw a steak with some stuff I hadn't seen
before. Oh, well. I mean, listen, I may not be the skinniest or the most talented television guy, but nobody's got nicer clothes, I can say that. So we were filming all last week, this week doing a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, I just said, get your boys and tell them I'm going to whip some ass.
I heard you.
Yeah, me getting excited.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So what about – I'm just going to say, Rusty, you are the – you give the Braves, and they've earned it, okay?
Yep.
They've earned it.
Yep.
But you give the Braves the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Way ahead of anybody else. Yeah, like, you were like, they just played Mike Tyson. I mean, come on. I know the Padres are 7-0, but listen, you're one of the top payrolls in baseball.
Okay.
You still got a bunch of all-stars on that team, and you just got smoked.
Let me ask you 0-7. Let me ask you this. Yeah. If I gave you the National League, and I said, okay, here's two teams that you won't face the first week, who would you have taken?
I don't know if I would have said
Padres and Dodgers.
Probably. I don't know if I would have said Padres.
Phillies and Dodgers?
Maybe Mets.
Okay.
Listen, Padres are a playoff team. Padres beat us last year. Padres are, you know,
listen,
solid.
If we go
Arizona's
if
good.
We go, if we go 1-5 this week, the next week I'll have a different opinion. If we go 1-5.
I mean,
but
why did you come? I mean, are you on there? We played Mike Tyson?
Dude.
They're
15-0.
Combined.
They're 15-0. They came out of the gate swinging. Mike Tyson would knock your ass out the first round. These two teams are 15-0 to start the season.
We were not beaten.
I'm not worried.
The way we were hitting, you're not worried.
Our two best players aren't here yet.
Okay, so what if when they get back, what if when Ronald Acuna gets back, we're 10-20? Are you going to be worried then? If we're 10-20?
If we're 10-20, yes.
Because we play .500 ball right now.
We're 0-7. If you give me 23 more games and we're lackluster, then we've got problems. But we're coming home. This is different energy. Fresh start. I heard him tell them, don't even come to the park today.
Yeah,
this
okay.
team, Snickers,
they got back late
gonna,
from LA.
Snickers going to get in some, you know what? And I think they're going to go 4-2. I'll call it right now. They go 4-2.
Least, yeah, I hope
4-2.
So.
4-2
against the Phillies
a six game and the Marlins.
Yeah,
4-2. We'll be good.
They are prohibitive. I'm going to say this too, because we do talk a little bit about. I just talked about the underdog app. Do you like my play tonight, Austin Riley, total bases over 1.5?
Yeah, hell yeah. Can I put – I mean, can I –
Yeah, you can get on the – get on the underdog app.
Yeah.
And make a note of this day, the underdog app.
Do I got to drive to Bass Pro Shops in Chattanooga, or can I just get on the underdog app?
No, you don't have to. You can do it. The state takes the underdog app. Get on there. I will say this. I've never heard of a team that is 0-7. I'm looking at the numbers for tonight, the odds. if you bet the Braves.
Yep.
I want to get this right. The Braves are -230.
Yes.
They're at 0-17.
Yes.
That is more than double odds.
You know why? Because odds are they're going to win one.
Right.
Like you heard you say you can't bet. And then and they know it's a home game. It's the opener.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
A great environment.
And by the way, the pitching matchup is it would normally be a way – I mean, yes, they haven't won. You know they're going to. And great pitching matchup tonight. That kid on the Marlins ain't anything.
Was it Meyer?
Yeah, Max Meyer Max versus Meyer. Spencer Schwellenbach.
Yep.
So a couple of other
– I'm not in panic yet. Everybody,
I'm not asking you to panic, but you started the show by saying they played Mike Tyson. I mean, come on. When did the Padres become Mike Tyson? I know the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman fell in the shower. You didn't even play.
15-0.
So let me ask you this.
15-0.
Would you bet against the Padres? Because they're going to lose one of these games, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to lose
Where
one
are
game.
They tonight?
I tell you right now. So you want to bet right now the Padres in the playoffs?
No.
Okay, then.
They're playing the Cubs today, and the Cubs are -160.
I'm not worried about the Padres.
Cubs
anymore.
Are 5-4. So the Cubs since Japan have gone 5-2. I need to look into that a little bit more as well. I'll take a look at it. We'll kick it around. I think the best bet of the weekend, just if you're listening, is the Florida Gators over Auburn. And Braves tonight, I'm not giving up 230, but that's crazy favorite tonight. I
mean, it's almost the emotional part. You just put a little bit on the Marlins, and if you lose, you lose. The Braves win. You take the odds.
I know. You get double odds.
You
I know.
Double odds.
I know.
Just like a hell of I'll be more than happy to lose this
right.
For the Braves to win.
All right. You want to do Rusty Rocks? It's 4:04 day.
Yep.
So this
is how I got to do this. I mean, this you could go a million miles with this. I could do 4:04. I could do 60 songs, 15 groups. What I chose to do for 4:04 day are the most played songs on my playlist from bands from the 4:04. Okay? So this isn't the top five all-time songs. These are what I think going are the most played songs that I've played, whether I'm with my boys on the golf course, I have to be in charge of music. Whether I'm on the boat, I have to be in charge of music. Wherever we go, they're like, Rusty, play the damn, you got it. So okay. Here's what I got. Number five, Mother's Finest, Baby Love, 1977.
Wow.
I love some Mother's Finest, man. Oh, man. I cranked that. That's the first song I played this morning. I got in the car.
No way.
5:30. I was cranked at it.
So do you just say it into your phone, into your car, play this?
It's on my playlist.
How long is your ride in the morning?
About 1:10.
You were here so early today.
I beat traffic today. Really good. Man,
Fridays aren't bad anyway. I don't know if you know the difference.
Not bad.
Fridays, if you're driving in, it's the best day to drive
it's
in.
Great. Number four. Love this one, man. There's some people going to go back a little bit on this one. TLC, Red Light Special, 1994.
Hey, Day-Day, were you feeling TLC?
Oh, yeah, man.
Back
this
in the
one,
day?
This one,
oh,
right
yeah.
Here, this one right here.
They've done enough documentaries on them, yeah, have man. They not?
Yeah. Yeah, and they had the VH1, what was it, VH1 movie or Lifetime movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Red Light Special.
1994, man, that's a great tune. 1992. Go back to a little bit of rock and roll. Black Crowes, Remedy.
So Black Crowes back together and touring. They got rid of their band. Which one is this?
This is Remedy from 1992.
You know the story, guys, about we got a little bit of time. You know the story about their dad, Stan Robinson, and the relationship we had with him? Mike Bell going to dinner with Stan, Kirk Russell, and Goldie Hawn.
That sounds like a 30 for 30.
He went to dinner with Kurt Russell, I believe Goldie Hawn, because, of course, Chris Robinson was married to their daughter,
yep,
which is Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did not get along with their dad. They didn't get along with each other.
They didn't get along with
they
each
hated
other.
Each other.
Yeah.
Chris Robinson is not.
I tried.
He's not
going to
win Man of the Year award, huh?
I tried.
I'm
I've
just
read
telling
all that.
You.
Yeah, I've heard
Mike
it.
Bell, did you know he was at dinner with Goldie Hawn and Kirk Russell? With Stan, the in-laws. Stan used to hang at the Old Palm restaurant, may rest in peace. Yeah. Fabulous guy.
Old Palm.
When you ask him about his kids, he didn't have much to say. He didn't speak to him much.
Man,
but anyway, Black
sucks.
Rose out and touring. They dumped the whole band. They're just out there trying to make some bucks.
Well, I got to quickly turn back into what I think is Atlanta music. And here you go. Number two is from 2006. It's T.I. What you know about that?
Where do you put T.I. in the Mount Rushmore?
He has to be in it. I mean, the next group obviously is going to be easy to guess, but T.I. definitely is Atlanta. You think of Atlanta music.
I mean, if you think of the way that T.I. is in the middle of everything happening.
He was a crossover. I mean, he does all these, you know, different genres. He's made all kind of different artist songs. I mean, he's great.
Is that the song you would have chosen, Day-Day, for T.I.?
For me personally, probably not, but he's got so many. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that
one.
Yeah, whatever you like. Yeah, he's got so many.
Yeah, he's got a ton.
That was hit number three.
Number two. Oh, number three.
Hit number three in the U.S. Billboard chart. Peaked at number one of the R&B. Mm-hmm. It's one of his all-timers.
Was that the King album?
Yes.
Yep.
For me, this group coming up is Atlanta. They got 15 songs you could have picked. This is the one I'll play the most from Outkast, 1996. You can crank that one up. Can't be any 404 list without them number one. I don't care how you dissect it, how you try to divide it. It has to be Outkast. I love that one, man.
It's so frustrating for Outkast fans,
man.
That it's just never going to happen. Day-Day told us, don't hold your breath. It ain't never. They're getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This year,
I think it was this year they were nominated. Yeah,
well, they're not. They.
Well, they made the finalists or whatever. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think they're in this year. Is Outkast not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year?
They so, better be.
Any thoughts that they're going to play together? And everyone's like, no. One of the biggest thrills I had, I shot a pilot with Big Boy. We created a show called Big Boy's Got to Eat because he loves cooking and die. And you know, I, me and Rusty, you and I are similar. I said to him, dude, what was it like? Super Bowl night, you know. Not again. You should have had Atlanta guys all over that stage, right?
Oh my God!
ATL aliens,
stop.
ATL aliens, and he's like, dude, there's nothing like it, except it was too short. He's such a good dude. He's such a normal, great guy. Big college football fan. Kid played at Oregon.
I covered him. Mr. Wilbert Academy.
How was his game?
He's a good player.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, good player.
That's
the people are reacting. Where did Rusty cover Mother's Finest? I mean, yeah, I listened to it all.
Deep cut in their eyes that you went there.
I don't think anybody thought it was going to go 1977 Mother's Finest.
When we come back, Keith Brooking. Haven't talked to him in a long time. What's he up to? We salute the 404.
Grown ass man.
The 404. Covered him in college.
Covered his son.
Wow. Sports Radio 92.9.
Zach Brown, I think, is from the Noonan area.
Noonan?
Around that area. He just played two shows in Nashville.
You know, he just played.
He just played back-to-back Nashville this week.
You know, he played Dixie Tavern 3 weeks ago.
I'll be damned.
Where he got his start.
Cut his teeth there.
Showed up with a band. They played Dixie Tavern.
It. Yep.
When Buckhead was Buckhead. This guy knows when Buckhead was Buckhead. He wasn't afraid.
Ooh.
But Zach Brown playing the local bars, cover bands.
I think
bands.
He played Tuesday and Wednesday in Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, I think my whole freaking Facebook was there.
Right.
Like, everybody just took the damn week off and went to Nashville.
Well, it's 404 day, and we're honoring some of the greats. How do you like being called one of the greats? That's what this
is. Oh, I don't know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on. Keith Brooking, covered him in college. You cover him in high. You would cover him in high school, did you?
I think I'm a couple years younger than Keith.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
ran into him in I think Buckhead Saloon one night.
Heck yeah, man! We're talking about the old school Buckhead. That was
dude. That was
you know. I grew up in Senoia, Georgia, which that was the country back in the day. And shoot, man, in 1994, I went on my official visit to Georgia Tech, and that was my first experience in Buckhead. So
they took you out.
That's what sold me.
Took him out. Buckhead's the best thing. That was the best sale for Tech.
I'm telling you, I got buddies who weren't from Senoia. They're from New York.
Yeah.
And they'd come to Atlanta and they're just like, I'm not going home.
Yes.
Like
I'm done.
It's like this is everything.
Call her and tell her I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I'm done.
It's changed. Buckhead's changed a lot since then though.
So sure. You're in Savannah, is that right?
Well, my kids go to school in Savannah, Savannah Christian, just across the Talmadge Bridge, but we live in Bluffton, South Carolina, which is the town right before you go on to Hilton Head Island.
Yeah, great town.
So, we had a place here, a couple of years after I got married and, you know, we'd spend a few months out of the year when I was playing ball and we just, you know, decided kind of just on a whim, man. Like, we're going to try it out when I retire in 2012 and, you know, built a house and good place to raise a family, we thought, and it ended up being that for sure. So it's been a great move, man. We love it here, no doubt.
Keith, I go down to see – I want two questions here. I go down about 2 years ago to Savannah Christian. I go down, obviously, to see Elijah Griffin. And Coach goes, hey, I want to bring out this kid. I said, another guy wants you to see. I said, okay, well, I'm here. Bring him out. And he brings out this guy. He's about 6'3" and a half. He goes, he's a sophomore, too. And he goes,
good looking kid.
He goes, this guy's kid's name's Logan Brookin. And I said, wait a minute. What'd you say? He says, Logan Brookin. I said, Keith? And he goes, that's his dad. And kind of met him that day. Very impressed with him. Followed his recruitment the whole time. Obviously ended up at Clemson. Give me, before you ask that, I want to say this because people know this name, Elijah Griffin. What was it like being around him, and what do you think is like the, what do you think for him on the next level as one of the top defensive linemen maybe ever in the state of Georgia to come out?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Just one of the more talented kids, I mean, in the 2025 class for sure. And just his, you know, he got his offer from Georgia in the 8th grade.
Correct.
I mean, just a freak of nature physically. He has all the tangibles, no doubt about it. And just, I mean, shoot, there's really not a weakness in his game. He explosive, change direction. I mean, like, he's beyond his years. There's no doubt. I mean, I'll be shocked. I mean, and it's kind of a big need for Georgia, too, from what I've gathered, you know, the interior defensive line. So I'll be absolutely shocked if he doesn't play as a freshman. And not only that, man, just has all the talent ability in the world. I mean, he's the top D lineman in his class, but just a great kid. You know, good grades, man, very coachable. I mean, I was with him daily and a leader of our team and just does things the right way. So I think go Kirby. You know Kirby, man. He'll get the best out of him. So, I mean, he's at a place to where – Kirby's going to maximize his ability in every way. So I think it's a great fit and just a good kid, and we're pulling for him for sure.
Take me through the process with Logan, because he cut his own teeth, made his own name, had multiple 30-something offers. He ends up, I remember going to the 707 last year at Georgia Tech, and I'm watching him. I'm going, damn, that's a good-looking kid that's going to play for Clemson. What was that process like for you guys and make it, and letting him make his own decision?
Yeah, he – it was crazy because he started playing football. I think 7 was his first year of flag. And then he started playing tackle at 10 when we moved here full time. And I kind of started a little rec league here. And then he got in middle school. And, I mean, he loved football from the beginning and was a good player. And, man, he got to high school and, like, he
kept growing.
He's close to 6'5 now. I mean, I'm looking up to him, 235 pounds. But he started outgrowing me, like, probably his sophomore year in high school. And he had a really good sophomore year. But I never, like, I don't know, man. I mean, like, I guess because I did it, like, there was no pressure for him to play in college. Like, I never pushed him that way. I mean, he loved the game, and I gave him everything that he asked for, you know, from that standpoint, as far as knowledge and things to do and working out. And the Joker, like, texts me. I'm doing some yard work at the house, and he texts me his sophomore year, like halfway through the season. He goes, hey, Dad, I got an offer.
Wow.
I look at the text message. I'm like, I mean, he was having a good year, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, offer? What the heck are you talking about offer? He goes, the tight end coach from South Carolina just came down here, and he offered me a scholarship. And it just absolutely blew my mind. I mean, he had all the tangibles. Like, his ceiling was really high. But, I mean, those things come out early now. It's just a different time.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
that's awesome.
And once you get that first one, man, I mean, it just took off.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I kind of knew that he had the ability, like, you know, to play at the next level at that time as long as he continued to work. But it was definitely early, and then, man, it just kind of took off. And yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. And he's worked his freaking butt off, so we're proud of him. He's an early entry. He's up there now, and he's working really hard. They got their spring game. I'm actually about to leave the house here in about 30 minutes, and they got their spring game tomorrow. So a bunch of my family's meeting me up there. So it's definitely some good times, man.
Five minutes left with Keith Brookin. We're going to play Buy or Sell with him in about 2 minutes. It's a 404 day. Interviews are presented by Verizon. I'd argue you overlapped one of the great eras, the greatest era. You had a quarterback, a Super Bowl appearance, I think your rookie year. You had the Mike Vick era. And then were you here? How many years of Matt Ryan was Keith Brookin around for?
1 year.
The playoff.
2008. I got him as rookie year. Yep. So
you saw all shapes and sizes. But back then when you were an Atlanta Falcon, I mean, listen, nothing more special than Super Bowl followed by Mike Vick. Talk about what it meant to be in Atlanta during that era.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, Atlanta, obviously growing up watching it, watching the Falcons, you know, it was, they were hard to watch. It was hard to be a fan. You know, I get there my rookie year and we go to the Super Bowl. It's like, what in the world, man? Dream come true. So you get kind of pinch yourself. And then had a couple of bad years and then Vic rolls in and just probably, I mean, arguably the face of the NFL.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, there's no doubt. Like, just such a dynamic player. And, like, he had unbelievable games, but, like, shoot, man, if you watch that freaking kid every day in practice, it was a treat, you know? It was like, so, yeah, it was just phenomenal. And then, you know, what happens to him, you know, after the success and the turmoil and just some of the, you know, adversity that he had to deal with. And man, to bounce back from that in Philly, I played against him when I was in Dallas. Like, so it was crazy, man. I would sum up my career with the Falcons is, I mean, the dream come true. 11 years for, you know, my hometown team, but it was a roller coaster ride for sure. There were some ups and downs.
Well, we got some questions in buy or sell that'll go back on some of the guys you played with. You ready to play buy or sell with Keith Brookin?
Heck yeah.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Buy or sell, you've had a beer with Jerry Jones post 11:30 p.m. You've had a drink with Jerry Jones post 11:30 p.m. Buy or sell?
Buy.
What was he like to be around? Big personality.
He was awesome. Like, just, I mean, he's there every day, very involved, like, down to earth, like, would talk to everybody. And a loyal, an absolute loyal owner. Like, the dudes that go there and play well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the legend of Dallas, like, that Joker takes care of him, man. So, just a loyal guy.
Buy or sell, boys are easier to raise than girls. Buy or sell, boys easier to raise than girls. You got two of each, right?
I got two of each, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm selling.
Dan Reeves had a
you got to wake up early for the girls, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Dan Reeves had a bad temper. Dan Reeves had a bad temper. Buy or sell?
Selling.
One of the great gentlemen I've ever been around in sports. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But he had his moments.
Temper. I mean, all coaches have a temper, you know. So that's kind of hard to.
Yeah, you're right. It's bad.
But the one thing I'll buy as far as Dan goes is he was a hard headed individual.
When Arthur Blank said, "I don't know if you're coming back," he said, "Sayonara, buddy.
See ya.
That's not the way I'm going to be treated." Buy or sell, Tech got screwed in the 97 Georgia Tech game. Tech got screwed. Buy or sell.
Absolutely freaking buy. What in the world? Honest to God, like, the game is won. We intercept the ball on the opposite side of the field and they call freaking pass interference.
Was it who had the pick?
Absolute buy.
Who'd they call the pick on? Who'd they call the interference?
DeVar Stillman.
And who has,
I believe, right? Am I right on that?
Yep.
And who had the pick?
Tavares.
He had the pick. Who had the interference?
I think Tavares Tillman had the pick.
And they gave him the interference?
Yes. Two plays after that was the Corey Allen deal.
I remember you and Ron Rogers in the locker
room. I cried after two games, and that was one of them.
Ron Rogers and Keith Brookin in the locker room after that game was as heartbroken as any two players I've ever seen.
Georgia boys growing up, Georgia didn't offer either one of us, you know, so, you know, we go to Tech and, like, we're going to freaking take it out on your ass. And then, you know, we go 0-4 against them. We go 0-4 against them. That was the one chance we freaking had.
Did you watch this year's game start to finish?
Oh, no. Heck no.
Did you watch the overtimes?
No.
All right. Buy or sell. No. Still love to work out, buy or sell. I don't know what kind of shape you're in.
Daily. Brian, yes, love to work out. Now, the workouts have changed. It's much more low impact. Swimming, biking.
Getting your steps.
Stairmaster. But, yeah, I'm getting it in daily. Most days, anyways.
Falcon cheerleaders were as good-looking as Cowboy cheerleaders. Buy or sell. Falcon cheerleaders were as good-looking as...
Man, you got to put me on the spot.
I told him pre-show.
He played
at state.
He played in two cities.
It's a Friday, man.
All right, you can... All right, so we won't go there. I don't know if, who's listening. You got hazed as a rookie, buy or sell. Got hazed as a rookie.
Oh, I'm old school.
Who was the worst?
I'm buying that one.
Who hazed you the worst?
Cornelius Bennett.
Biscuit.
Come on, Tuggle. Oh, by the way, did you guys know Tuggle turned 60 today?
Oh, okay.
I did not know. That's great. That's
awesome. To all the Atlanta fans. Yeah, so I'm gonna text some.
Jesse Tuggle and Keith Brooking, I think only guys have 22 tackles in a game, all-time Falcon record. Buy or sell, you'll be watching more than 8 hours of the Masters. Buy or sell, you'll be watching.
Oh, shoot. I mean, the over for sure. I'm buying that one, buddy. That's when golf season – well, it used to be when golf season started. Correct. Now the players is kind of earlier, but, yeah, man,
updating your Masters app this weekend like everybody else.
If you saw Bobby Petrino, you'd shake his hand. Buy or sell. If you saw Bobby Petrino, you'd shake his hand. Buy or sell.
I don't even know if I should say this, man. I'm selling it. But my son was offered by Texas A&M – and
he was off the
Bobby
field,
Petrino
man.
Was the offensive coordinator.
Wow.
And he wanted to go out on a visit, and I was like, no.
Wow.
Not going to do it.
I get it.
That's called karma. Like, well, that's not how you treat somebody.
I think the Atlanta fans understand that.
I like that story.
Hell yes, they do.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Buy or sell this guy right here on a front. Luke Combs. Buy or sell Luke Combs.
Absolutely buying. What about you guys? You buy
I love Luke Combs. And that's from a Yam. I love country music now, too, but he's my number one right now. I love Luke Combs. I don't know. There's so many good ones. Stapleton, Jelly Roll. It's a good era for country music, right?
There's no doubt. Yep.
All right.
I'm 100% in.
Hey, listen, if you ever in Atlanta?
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. My mom and dad still live in Sonoya.
All right.
I get in town a lot, so.
If you can come to an hour in studio, we'd love to have you.
I would love to do that. And if you guys ever make it to the Lowcountry, you got my number, so look me up, man.
Keith, I think my guy Trevor Lawrence is moving close to there. I think he's building a place.
Yes, he is. I saw Trevor. Trevor lives. He got a piece of property in our community, and I saw him at a restaurant a few months ago, and he's in the process of building here, so. Yeah.
One of the all-time great Falcons. Hey, thanks for being on with us. Always great to catch up, Keith.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Keith.
Good luck at the Clemson game, too. That's Keith Brooking. Great stories to tell. We'll come back. We'll play three strikes.
I told you not to buy.
He didn't want to answer that.
Damn right, he didn't want to answer. Put the mail on a Friday.
I know. I shouldn't have done it.
We got to talk about prom party. We'll get back.
.1044, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks to Keith Brooking. Great to catch up. It was very interesting to hear him talk about his son. And
dude, I'm telling you, when I saw him, I knew. I've done it long enough. Like his friend, he was 6'3 as a sophomore. Now he's 6'5 and a half.
But how about an ex-professional athlete who is the opposite of some of these guys? And athletes normally are better than dads about it. He's like, I had no thought of it.
Never crossed his mind.
He says, my kid got an offer. I was floored.
He was cutting grass.
I was shocked. Yeah. He said it. He was just shocked. I promise. And he's a coach now, too.
Yeah, he helps coach at Savannah Christian.
He's got a lot of David Pollock in him. The workout mindset, the passion for his school, the just the way he wants to parent, I would imagine. Also attached to high schools, right?
I think the captains that day in 1997 were Hines Ward, Brandon Talbert, Mike Bobo, and Chris Terry for Georgia. I've heard Mike Bobo tell the story when they went out for captains that day that Keith Brooking was freaking foaming at the mouth, basically. Like, that was his last chance at Georgia.
How long ago was that game?
1997.
Okay. Did you hear – it was a good interview, but did you hear how fired up he was?
You never get over one like that, I can tell
you. You're 0-3.
Yep.
You have the pick.
Mm-hmm.
You win the game, and then you see Tavar the flag.
It was a safety. Yep.
Why did he say it was the other side of the field? Is that where he was?
No, they were on the red zone. They were on the 20.
Right. He was saying we go on the other side of the field. Okay.
They were on Georgia's side of the field. So he was saying they're on our side of the
field.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And
you get the turnover in the red zone.
It was a bad call from what I remember, although Bobo wouldn't agree with you.
I wouldn't. I thought it was a great call.
I remember
that. Hines wore it off. You got to get a chance.
Here's what they knew in that locker room at 21 years old.
Yep.
We're gonna end our career winless.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna hurt forever, and it's 30 years later, and you can hear the passion.
But I'll tell you this, from the Georgia side of it, I don't give a damn how much you hate Georgia Tech. You watched that game, and you knew that Keith Brookin was a freaking dude. And when he played for the Falcons, he backed it up, and he was a great player, and I enjoyed covering his son. But you could tell. And you know what was crazy is Georgia and Georgia Tech all ran into each other that night in Buckhead. They were all kind of at the same bar after the game. Yeah, all the Georgia guys came back. I may have just stayed in Atlanta.
Was it a respectful scenario?
I don't think it was a bad deal, but it was kind of awkward for me.
I can tell you this. That's not who Keith Brookin wanted to run into that night.
No.
This seed in Georgia guys. Georgia guys probably didn't care. No. Tech guys, that would be a hard thing to deal with. All right, I got a great three strikes. We got a lot of calls to get for this, especially a couple of the football questions. The best city for good-looking women. The best city for good-looking women. Right now, if you had to say, best city for good-looking women, underrated linebacker, and please understand, and don't call
what,
and
what
say.
What level?
Because
we're going to get into high school. Some, are you going to say NFL?
College or pro.
College or pro. Okay.
Underrated linebacker. Okay. So I'll tell you who's an underrated linebacker. Tiffany, last day today at Sports Radio 92.9. Her dad, Don Blackman, was a hell of a linebacker. Played with Andre Tippett and Steve Nelson, and they were the famous ones, went to the Super Bowl. Don Blackman would be an example. Don't say Lawrence Taylor. Don't say Jesse Tuggle. Say underrated linebacker, college or pro. And the college loss that is the toughest to get over. The college loss, it can be basketball or football. I imagine it'll be a lot of football. The toughest loss to get over in college.
You're going to get a lot of calls from that Alabama, Georgia, and Mercedes-Benz. For the national championship.
Second and 26. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a
little. Can I give you a linebacker underrated, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Not just because he's a Georgia Bulldog. I'm telling you, Rennie Curran was a freaking tackling machine.
We ought to get him in live. He does a ton of stuff out there on social.
Fantastic in what he's doing in life.
404-726-0929.
Shout out, Rennie Curran.
Yeah, I couldn't make it all time toughest loss to get over because we're on 404 day, I think we know where that would have gone. So it has to be a college. Oof. All right?
That one too.
Let's fill the lines up on 404 day. Best city for good-looking women. Underrated linebacker. College lost, toughest to get over. Our big game of the night. Bo's going to be slinging drinks tonight over at the Truist Club. Bo? You're going to have a big night tonight, right?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be packed out. People bring the energy. Let's go. We're ready.
Is there like a parade before and all kinds of stuff?
There's all kind of opening day stuff probably going on all day at the Battery.
Dukes and Bell are at Murph's this afternoon.
Yeah.
The show live over across from Stadium. So,
you know, whenever I talk to him about like the energy there, like I literally, I'm like a little kid. I was like, maybe I'll go down there around 2 o'clock, you know? And then when I know like I got all this stuff with the kids and I'm supposed to, I'm dancing with Nola and her father-daughter, like,
that.
Recital.
I heard that.
So, no, you say no prom party, no after prom. Dude.
It's a lot. It's a lot. There's a lot to that, man.
So, that's a big...
You should go over to somebody's house.
No, I know.
Spend some time there with your daughter and then go home.
But the parents aren't invited to the after prom party. They're invited to a during the prom party. Some bougie parents are throwing this party tomorrow night from 7 to 10. With like a live band and open bar. No, that's during the prom.
We don't have enough time to talk about my senior prom that ended with breathalyzers and rusty blue OO, but in the parking lot.
Oh, you blew an OO?
After the prom, I did.
Did you?
We were.
What if I got you about 4 hours later?
It would have been probably
a lot higher.
The Capri Suns would have been a lot colder.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. We got the phone calls coming, Day-Day. Ready to rock and roll, underrated linebacker, college or pro, I'm looking for. That's a big game of the night of the Braves tonight. Final Four tonight, women's. Final Four tomorrow. I mean, it is Sunday night's the national title for women, right?
Yep.
So
I would say my guess will be UConn and South Carolina.
Paige Becker. Rematch. This is her time, right?
Yep. UConn beat the brakes off of South Carolina and Columbia. You don't think Dawn Staley wants another shot at them?
Who beat Connecticut this year? How many losses do they have?
So USC beat Connecticut by two.
Yeah. Where was that game?
That was in Connecticut.
So they came in. Juju came to Stores and beat them. Wow. Boy, that would have been a hell of a rematch.
That would have been great.
How about Juju and Jay Daniels? Awesome. And Jay Daniels' mom went and sit between them. Oh, yeah.
Did you see where
Jay Daniels went to watch Juju play the game before she got hurt? They were chumming it up in the bleachers together. About 15 minutes later, Jay Daniels' mom came sitting in between them and smiled at both. But it was awkward.
All right, 404-726-0929. We got 3 minutes. We can take about 7 calls.
Let's get through it quick. We'll have some good ones.
Well, then fill up the phone lines. Let's go. Breakfast Barry. How we doing, buddy?
How we doing?
Always good to hear from you. What city has the best?
You're gonna be partying tomorrow night.
What city has the best looking women?
Athens, Georgia. As soon as it turns springtime, all of a sudden you go, where did all these girls come from with the tans? Oh my goodness! That was a long time ago. Not now.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
now.
Long
with
time
my
ago,
daughter.
Barry. Long time
long
ago, Barry.
Long time ago when I was in school in the '80s.
Yep.
Sorry.
Underrated linebacker.
I think Jesse Tuggle was freaking phenomenal, and what he did for the Falcons when he came there, just the guy was a beast. Yep. Just unbelievable.
I don't think he's underrated. I think he's rated as one of the
maybe
greatest.
Maybe nationally.
No,
underrated.
I know, but
maybe
I think he was underrated at the beginning.
College loss, toughest to get over. College loss, toughest.
Ooh, always to Georgia Tech when I was in Athens. Anytime we lost to Tech,
losing to Paul Johnson. Losing to Paul Johnson must have been tough. Brad in Peachtree City.
99.
Hey, Brad, he beat him twice there in Athens. Best city for hot-looking women, Brad?
I think Nashville. Throw that out there.
Underrated.
Amen.
Underrated linebacker.
I'm going to say Chaz Chambliss, man. He's got all those guys around him up there that, can, you know, he's kind of underrated a little bit. I think he's a stud.
College loss, toughest to get over.
I was sitting there in the bins, man. Tyler Simmons is still on sides.
I agree with that. Second 26.
Ricky in Sandy Springs. Hey, Ricky, what's the best city for hot-looking women?
I'm going to say anywhere in Sweden.
Any
drop
city.
The mic.
Underrated linebacker.
Rusty took mine, but I'm going to go Odell Thurman.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Yep. Good one. College loss, toughest to get over.
Just to mix it up again, I'm going to say the 08 College World Series that Georgia blew.
Mm. What happened to that game?
They were up in that game. They scored some runs late and got beaten.
I think we won the first game and then lost back-to-back games to Oregon State and Fresno State, one of those weird schools.
Yep.
I think you could do worse than book a trip to Lincoln. Maybe you'll cancel, but Georgia sure looks like they have the team
top
right now.
Top five matchup this weekend, Georgia Texas. Number 3 at Texas. 3 games this weekend. I'm telling you right now, Georgia leads the nation in home runs, 79 bats, and we don't use torpedo bats.
All right, buddy. We're doing mornings next week. The next time you hear
early.
Us, next time you hear us will be 6 a.m. Monday morning. 6 a.m. we take over the morning shift for 1 week. The steakhouse in the house. Looking forward. Drew's on Monday, Sandy, and then Rusty during the week. Thanks, Bo. Appreciate it always. Thank you, Day-Day. 404 Day continues right here on the radio station. Going to be a phenomenal. Jerry Glanville coming up later on, among others. And Braves, opening day. Go Bravos. Weather is turning out to be beautiful. Have a great weekend. Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.